Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Lassiter, and Corey Labounty.
Good morning and welcome to the Prep Sports Report presented by Alpha and coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios located right here in the heart of Mobile on this beautiful, beautiful Easter weekend. Mark Lassiter is visiting with his mom and dad in Birmingham as his dad celebrates his birthday this weekend and as Bayside begins their spring break. Corey LeBounty's back in the studio after his travels to the University of Alabama to watch a man with a bad hip coach the University of Alabama's A-Day game in what was described by most as boring. Corey, good morning.
Good morning, brother. Always a pleasure to join you 52 weeks out of the year on the Prep Sports Report.
Tell you what we need to do right off the bat. We need to bring everybody up to date on what's going on as far as high school baseball is concerned, because most of North Alabama yesterday was rained out as far as baseball playoffs were concerned. And down here in the South, we were pretty doggone fortunate that we were able to get in most of the baseball games here in the South. Now, understand that only 1A through 6A will be playing baseball this weekend. 7A starts their playoffs next weekend, and one of those teams, McGill-Tulane, will host Theodore, and we'll talk to Tim Becker at about 8:30 this morning and talk a little bit about that game. And one of the premier high school pitchers in the nation, Chandler Best, who has been recognized throughout the nation in publications as one of the premier pitchers in high school baseball. But as we go through these scores, we'll start in 6A. Faith Academy swept Spanish Fort yesterday. Faith won the first game 10-2 and won the second game 6-3. Congratulations to Coach Matt Seymour and the Faith Academy Rams as they move on to the next round. There was one game played in Birmingham in the northern section. Gardendale defeated Pinson Valley in game one. Game two was postponed. Down in southeast Alabama, Northview defeated Sidney Lanier 8-0 and 12-1. Northview advances. Now, one of the things about this is the last soiree for Northview High School, as Northview now has been. They are going to combine with Dothan High School. They're going to become the Dothan Wolves. Of course, our good buddy Smitty Grider has now left Hazel Green and is headed to Dothan and has taken over as a new football coach at Dothan High School. Makes me wonder. I wonder what the head coach at Northview is going to be doing now, because I know that Harry Wayne Parrish, his son, was the head football coach at Northview. And now I don't know what Hunter's going to be doing, but Hunter Parrish was the head football coach at Northview, and I don't know what the situation is there with him. Fine young man, outstanding young coach, and I'm anxious to find out what's going on with the former head coach at Northview High School. Also, another game in the North, Oxford defeated Hartsell 14-4. Game two was postponed, and boy, that's two baseball, traditional baseball powers up in that area. Pell City defeated Minor 11-1 and 12-4. Pell City advances. Also down here in the South, Saraland defeated Baldwin County 14-0 and 6-0 as Brent Batwell's team advances to the next round of the playoffs. In Class 5A, Charles Henderson of Troy advanced as they defeated Valley 9-7 and 12-8. St. Paul's defeated Jackson in a doubleheader, and St. Paul's advanced. St. Paul's wins the first game 12-10 and the second game 13-3, so they advance to the next round. And Kevin Raley, who we'll talk to at 8:45 this morning, Kevin Raley's UMS Wright Bulldogs defeated Citronelle 17-1 and 10-0. In Class 4A, American Christian from Tuscaloosa advanced as they defeated Montevallo 10-0 and 6-0 in 4A play. Hopeful advanced 10-0 and 5-1 over Dallas County, and that was kind of a trivia question we had last week. Greg Fairchild, one of our local baseball officials, won a $25 gift certificate to Cravers, and I know he's going to enjoy that over out there in West Mobile. And all of you need to go out and check out that restaurant now. It's been open for about a year. Corey LeBounty's mother is probably their best customer. I mean, she's there at least once a week, I'm sure. But, boy, I'm telling you, if you hadn't been to Cravers out in West Mobile, you certainly need to get there as quick as you possibly can. And Greg Fairchild was the winner of that $25 gift certificate, and he'll be there sometimes this week. Mobile Christian defeated Clark County, and they advanced. They defeated Clark County 13-2 and 15-3 to advance to the next round. And Ken Whittle up around the River region with the Trinity Presbyterian School swept Headland 6-2 and 3-0 to advance to the next round. Then Lamp, who has got a tremendous athletic program there in Montgomery, defeated Dale County 12-0 and 9-1, so Lamp advances to the next round as well. In Class 3A, Bayside Academy under new coach Coach Brown defeats Thomasville 1-0 and 7-6. So Bayside Academy advances. They move to 19-9, and boy, what a good year those guys have had there. Montgomery Academy swept Dadeville 11-0 and 1-3. Opp defeated Wicksburg 4-3 and 3-1 to advance to the next round. Providence Christian defeated Geneva 11-1 and 13-2, so Providence Christian advances in 3A. St. James out of Montgomery advances with a 7-0 and 11-0 win over Randolph County. And T.R. Miller moves on in Class 3A with a 5-2 and a 9-3 doubleheader win over over Flomaton. So T.R. Miller advances there. In Class 2A, Cottage Hill swept a doubleheader from Washington County, 3-2 and 8-4. So Cottage Hill moves on in Class 2A. G.W. Long swept Sampson, 23-4 and 12-0. So G.W. Long advances in 2A. And also in 2A, Leroy defeated J.U. Blackshear, 5-4 and 4-1. So Leroy advances as well. In Class 1A, Brantley defeats Elwood Academy 12-0 and 10-0. So Brantley advances in 1A. Holy Spirit defeats Lynette 20-0 and 14-0. Holy Spirit advances in 1A. South Lamar 5, Wadley 1 in the first game, and South Lamar 11, Wadley 4 in the second game. So South Lamar advances as well. St. Luke's right here in Mobile defeats Red Level 14-3. And they lose the second game 7-5, so St. Luke's and Red Level will play today at 1 o'clock in the IF game here in Mobile. Sweetwater defeats Florala, 14-0 and 23-0, so Sweetwater advances, and I know those umpires were ready to get out of there with those kind of scores. And then also in 1A, Victory Christian defeated Appalachian 13-1 and 5-0, Victory Christian advances. Now, some of the games that have been postponed in today's schedule, Stanhope Elmore is at Russell County today at noon. Coleman is at Albertville at 1 o'clock today. Athens is at Hazel Green at 2 o'clock today. Buckhorn at Muscle Shoals, and that time has not been announced yet. Shades Valley is at Hueytown, and that first pitch is at noon today. Dothan is at Park Crossing. That's kind of weird now because Dothan will go to Park Crossing, and Park Crossing is the original home of Dothan's new head football coach, Smitty Grider. So that'll be interesting. I bet Smitty will be making that journey up there to see that. Helena will play at Hillcrest today at 4. Northridge will be at Chelsea today at 2. Pinson Valley at Gardendale today at noon. In 5A, Arab is at Limestone at 5. Lawrence County is at Boaz at 1. Moody is at Parker at noon. Corner at Southside at 4. Madison Academy at Scottsboro at 4 today. Sardis at Russellville 4 today. Munford at Briarwood Christian at 4 p.m. Today, and the winner of that game will play UMS Wright. Pleasant Grove is at Springville, and that will be at 2 p.m. Saturday. In 4A, Claiborne County is at Hoax Bluff, West Limestone at Wilson, DAR at Priceville, Fairview at Haleyville, Danville at North Jackson, Cherokee County is at Lincoln, Deschler is at Brooks, Greensboro is at Hanley, and that will not be played until Monday. Class 3A, East Lawrence at Westminster, Weaver at Winfield, New Hope at Field Campbell, Hansville at Glencoe, J.B. Pennington at Vinemont, Lamar at Piedmont, Lauderdale at Geraldine, Sylvania at Lexington, Fultondale at Gordo, and those are the ones that we have so far all the way through 6A down into 2A. We'll be back with more PSR, visiting with Coach Tim Becker of the McGill-Tulane Yellow Jackets, who will play Theodore next Friday in the 7A baseball playoffs.
The CNC Financial and Auto Sales communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. This segment of the Prep Sports Report, presented by Green & Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now, back to the show. I seen your picture.
All right, welcome back to Prep Sports Report. Of course, we are presented by Alpha, and we are coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, located right here in the heart of Mobile, Alabama. You know, oftentimes, Corey, we spend a lot of time talking about Coach Savarese and some of the things that are going on in the High School Athletic Association, and there's probably no other sports show in the Southeast that has spoken as, I guess, as positively and as kind of tried to explain to the listeners throughout the Southeast the workings of the Alabama High School Athletic Association. And one of the men who Coach Savarese has brought in and has now, I think he's moved him into another job, and he's doing a great job there. And Jamie Lee is now the Alabama High School Athletic Association's athletic director and Coaches Association director, and they've got a lot of things going on at the state office right now, even though Steve gave them off yesterday. And I'm proud he gave them off on Good Friday. I think he let them off about 11:30. I just hope he didn't take them to Burger King to eat lunch on Friday. That's one of his standard operating procedures, is going to Burger King and giving us two regular cheeseburgers and a Coca-Cola and a small fry. That was what we got for about 11 years, but we all love him. Jamie, good morning, pal. How you doing?
Good morning, man. I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Happy Easter weekend to you guys.
Yeah, it is a blessed Easter weekend, and it's a beautiful weekend here in South Alabama on the Gulf Coast. I know Corey's going to speak with you here in just a minute, but I wanted to tell you how proud I am of the job you're doing, and I hear rave reviews from Coach Savarese, and that doesn't come very often, I'm going to tell you now, after spending as many years as I did with him, but he sure has a lot of good things to say about you.
Well, I do appreciate it, and we've got a great office and a lot of great people do a lot of work, and so I get probably a little credit that I don't deserve for sure. But Coach Savarese's been a great leader, and he turns me loose to do what he expects me to do, and we are working hard to try to make things as good as we can for our coaches and our athletes across the state.
Real quick, let me tell you a little story here before Corey gets with you. We're playing pretty doggone important game against Tuscaloosa County in the playoffs, and we really felt like we had the best football team that year, and we got a really bad call during the game, and I mean great officials, but it was just a bad call, and I think everybody realized it after it was all over. But during that game, we were having a little trouble blocking a certain scheme that they had, that they'd kind of sprung up on us. It was a new scheme, and they gave us a 3-3 stack look, and we'd been working on a split four look all, you know, the whole time in preparation. And boy, I'm having trouble. I'm trying to get everything settled down there and get my linemen settled and showing them what to do and where to go. And all of a sudden I hear on the headset, "Do I need to come down there and coach that offensive line? Do I need to do your job for you?"
I've heard that myself. he called me down to the office. We'll talk about something before he turns me loose. Now, he said, "Do I need to do this? Do I need to take care of this?" I've heard that many times.
Well, I don't want to tell you what I told him, but it wasn't the nicest thing in the world. Jamie, good talking to you. Corey will take it from here.
All right. Thanks, Coach.
Jamie, a lot going on in the AHSAA office. I know a couple of weeks ago, the AHSAA Champions Challenge is now changing over to the AHSAA Kickoff Classic, and that's going to start August 22nd and 23rd, which is only 121 days away from us kicking off for high school football. Tell us about the teams that are coming and what led to the name change in it, because this will be the 14th annual.
Yeah, that's a great question, and it's something we bantered back and forth about and just wasn't real sure what we wanted to do. But, you know, for a couple of several years now, 2 to 3 years anyway, we've had a hard time, maybe that's not the right word, but we haven't actually had champions from the previous year. You know, it started way back when they brought in the champions in certain classifications from the previous year. So that's how the name Champions Challenge came about. And in the last several years anyway, we haven't always had a former state champion from the year before. And so just through communication and talking through our office, we decided that we would make a change to call it the Kickoff Classic, and because we don't always know, you know, in their right minds and in our minds, all of our teams are champions in a lot of ways, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're the state champion. So we brought in, we communicated and talked about what we would try to do and how to make it maybe sound new, you know. And so that's why we changed the name to the Kickoff Classic, and we're very excited. We're going to start the weekend on Thursday with two local teams. Got a great rivalry between Jeff Davis and Carver Montgomery. They sort of kick off the year every year here in Montgomery, and we felt like we could help the city a little bit and with a great football game between two very good teams. And so always got good players, and so we decided we'd try to get those two to commit to us, and they did. And then through conversation with Coach Niblett and Coach Dubose at Carver, Phoenix City, and Hoover, those two teams were looking for a game the first week, and it just sort of happened. We had something for them, and so we were very excited about the Friday night matchup with Central Phoenix City and Hoover, with obviously got Division I athletes running around all over the place on both of those teams, and good tradition. Of course, you know, Central's coming off a championship last year, and Hoover's won a bunch of them. So we're really looking forward to that Friday night matchup as well.
It goes from football kicking off in August, but before we kick off in August, the AHSAA now is having an Elite 100 Boys and Girls Showcase that will be held June 22nd at Hoover High School for the boys, at Spain High School for the girls. Talk to us about how that evolved and the AHSAA jumping in on the basketball Elite 100 side also.
Yeah. Thank you. We're really excited about that. You know, this has been in the works for almost a year. The NCAA made some recruiting changes on the men's side to try to get the high school coaches back involved with the recruiting part. And, of course, we all know what's going on nationally with some of the NCAA basketball and men's basketball anyway. And so with the National Federation of High Schools and the NCAA got together, tried to figure out a way that they could do something to try to get the high school coaches more involved and away from the travel team, so to speak, during the recruiting time. And so over the last year, they've been working on that, and sometime in the fall, they came up with a plan that the last 2 weeks of June, the NCAA is going to allow the Division I men's basketball coaches to be out and recruit, which is something that's never happened. It's usually been in April and May and then in July. So, but the caveat was it had to be on a scholastic campus. So, in other words, it had to be on a high school campus, and it had to be organized and sanctioned by the National Federation. So high school, all of the state high school organizations, athletic organizations had to sanction it, or state basketball coaches associations had to sanction it. So we do have a new basketball coaches association that's being formed, and they will do a fantastic job. But we, as the state association, wanted to get on board, support our high school coaches and our players, and so we agreed to try to start something. And so that first weekend, June 22nd, so the first weekend the Division I coaches can be out, we are going to host an elite showcase event. And I'm not sure how much time you have, but I'll continue by telling you, we did our due diligence. We brought in a committee of coaches from all parts of the state, someone from every district, back in October, and sat down with them and got a feel for what they felt like we could do and should do to try to promote high school basketball, our good players in our state, and get those colleges to our showcase. And those coaches decided on a showcase versus a team camp situation. So then from there, we had our coaches nominate players. We had over 250 boys and almost 260 girls nominated for the 100 showcase. And then we had a committee again of coaches all across the state that selected those young men and women. On the women's side, I want to say that unfortunately this is not a Division I recruiting window. The women cannot be out during that time, and so it will not be a showcase for the Division I, but Division II, Division III, NAIA, junior college, all can be out. And so we decided that we were going to do a women's event as well as a men's event. It just didn't feel like it was right to just do a men's event. So that's why we're having a women's event and a men's event at the same weekend. We have sent out over 800 letters to colleges all throughout the state. Every Division I, II, III, and NAIA school in the Southeast has received a letter from us about the showcase, as well as we'll continue to receive email blasts, just weekly reminders that we're having the showcase where it is.
All right, Jamie, we're on a hard break, so we got to get out of here.
Go ahead.
Thank you so much for being with us, and we'll get back with you soon, okay? Thanks
a
bunch.
Y'all have a great day. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Jamie.
Have a happy Easter. Right, we'll be right back with more PSR, and this time we'll have our good buddy Tim Becker coming up talking McGill-Tulane baseball.
Sports Report is brought to you by Future Ones, providers of practice apparel and scout team jerseys with interchangeable numbers. Now, back to the show.
Jack and Diane painted a picture of my life and my dreams. Suddenly, this crazy world made more sense to me.
We get to listen to Chuck and Diane every week, so that's pretty good from Kenny Chesney. Kenny will be at the Wharf this summer. Tickets still available. You got a Franklin and some change, you can go see Kenny Chesney, I can assure you that. We're efforting McGill-Tulane baseball coach Tim Becker. You know, one of the things we want to talk to Tim about, Corey, and I hope we'll be able to get him here in a few minutes, and we generally are able to, but you know, they've got a pitcher over there that's probably one of the premier pitchers in the Southeast. And if you talk to baseball scouts, they certainly are quick to mention his name. Chandler Best is 30-1 for his career. And Charlie will be happy to hear this. Chandler Best is a Southern Miss signee. And he's got an array of good baseball players around him. Nathan LaRue is another player. He's an Auburn signee. And you know, the thing about Chandler Best, I watched a little bit of their game against Fairhope. They beat Fairhope 10-0, and I want to tell you, Fairhope's a doggone good baseball team and a good hitting baseball team as well. But in that game, he struck out 9, he homered, and they swept that two-game series from Fairhope in a really, really good doggone baseball team in the Fairhope Pirates. Two good baseball teams now. So he has 78 strikeouts in 44 innings this season. He's only walked 11 batters. I'm sure of this. For his career, he's got 272 strikeouts and 202 innings pitched. His only loss, he's 30-1 for his career, but his only loss was to Stu Fuller's Fairhope Pirates last year, 2-1. Heck of a baseball player, plays for a great man, really, truly great man, and a wonderful baseball coach in Tim Becker, and I'll tell you right now, he is a heck of a baseball player. A couple of other baseball players, Corey, in our area that have really shined, and something that we wanted to mention last week, but we're going to mention this week. Jake Holyfield over at St. Paul's, a really good baseball player there, and Jake had a couple of hits and a couple of RBIs in the top of the seventh inning as they defeated our UMS Wright Bulldogs. As a matter of fact, not only did Jake get hits and RBIs, he pitched the final inning to get the save for the St. Paul Saints against Kevin Raley's UMS Wright Bulldogs. Then over across the bay, Bayside Academy, Jack Knight from Bayside pitched a complete game. He allowed only one run over seven innings as Bayside Academy defeated St. Michael 7-1 in a Class 3A Area 1 action. He allowed four hits and struck out five. He didn't walk a batter. He went 2-for-3 at the plate with a walk and an RBI. And in a 6-5 series clinching win over St. Michael's on Saturday, he had a two-out, two-run single to put his team ahead to stay. He drew a pair of bases-loaded walks to finish with four RBIs.
You know whose son that is, Rick?
Jack Knight. Nope, you got to throw it at me.
That would be the one and only Vic Knight.
That's Vic's son?
That is Vic's son.
Get out of here.
Very proud of his son. His son's doing a wonderful job battling back from an injury, and his son's pitching well and hitting well at the right time this time of year for Coach Brown.
Boy, that is really neat. I didn't know that was Vic's son. That's good to know, and we know that Vic is in our prayers every Saturday and throughout the week. Is you know, he's fighting that thing that we don't like to talk about, but he's fighting it, and I think he's about to whip it. We're sure praying for him. And but boy, that's good to know. Jack Knight, the son of Vic Knight, over at Bayside Academy. And then another one locally, Bryce Eddington over at St. Luke's earned three wins for the week with 11 innings pitched, 20 strikeouts, 2 walks, and no runs allowed. He also went 11-for-20 at the plate with 5 doubles, 7 RBIs, and 3 stolen bases. I'm going to tell you something. Boy, these kids today can hit it. And, of course, we all us old-timers say, well, we could hit it too with these new bats they've got. And they didn't have to use wooden bats, but these kids are so much – they're so much stronger, faster – They're so good, and so much fun to watch them. I was looking last night. We play great baseball here in the South, but I looked over across the way yesterday, and we're going to talk a little bit about Biloxi in our face segment today. But boy, Biloxi is ranked number 9 in the nation. They're like 29-2 for the year. So those guys, the Biloxi Indians, are pretty doggone good too. So we're playing some pretty good baseball here in the southern part of the United States. And I can tell you this, there was must have been a heck of a battle yesterday between Faith Academy and Spanish Fort. You know, Spanish Fort won that region, and then Faith Academy comes back and defeats them in a doubleheader yesterday. So that was big.
But
that
you look really at, big. You know, competitive balance is kind of restructured and rechanged.
Yeah, it has.
A lot of how the baseball playoffs are shaping themselves out for a lot of our local teams. I mean, you look at Faith Academy. They're now in Class 6A. That's tough for them. You also look at UMS Wright moving from 4A to 5A. And then, you know, Mobile Christian also is a team that's had to reclassify. So that just speaks to the volumes of success that the Gulf Coast has had here the last couple of years in baseball.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Corey. And competitive balance is something we're going to live with. I can tell you that. I know the Alabama High School Athletic Association is working on that, and it's something that we're just going to have to live with. And I need to correct myself here. Trenton Brannon from Saraland hit a grand slam as the Spartans defeated Faith Academy 10-1 in the third game of their Class 6A Area 1 Championship Series to claim the title. So Saraland is the 6A Area 1 champion. And yesterday, Faith Academy defeated Spanish Fort. It wasn't Saraland. So, if I'm not mistaken, I believe Brett Boutwell and those guys, I think they won too yesterday. And I need to go back and check that with the baseball scores, because those two were not playing each other. I know Faith Academy was playing they were playing
Spanish
Fort. Now, Saraland, I thought I saw where Saraland swept somebody yesterday in a doubleheader. We need to double-check that.
I'll do that for you.
All right. But Brett Boutwell, of course, does a great job there at Saraland.
They swept Baldwin County.
They sure did. They shut them out in both games. That's exactly right. And then Faith Academy defeated Spanish Fort. So down the road now, you know that Faith Academy and Saraland are fixing to butt heads. They're fixing to play again. So that's going to be some good baseball when Brett Boutwell and Matt Seymour. And that's two good friends, too. Those two guys coached together at UMS Wright for several years. And, of course, Matt went over to Faith Academy to replace Coach Lloyd Skoda. You know, and I hadn't talked a lot about this. A lot of people don't know this. But, of course, Lloyd Skoda was the head baseball coach at Daphne High School. And I was fortunate enough to be there during that time with Steve Savarese, and Coach Skoda was a baseball coach there. One of the great things that Daphne High School has done is they recently renamed the baseball field Lloyd Skoda Field. And that is, what a tremendous, tremendous presentation that was to name the field after Lloyd Skoda. What a wonderful man he is and has always been, and we certainly are glad to know that that is been appropriately named after Coach Lloyd Skoda. Let's go to Coach Tim Becker real quick now as we talk about McGill Tulane, as they will face Theodore next Friday to begin the 7A playoffs. Good morning, Coach. How you doing, pal?
I'm doing fine. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir.
No problem, Coach. You're starting your area tournament. You are the area champion, so congratulations for that. I think you start Friday against Theodore, and that will start doubleheader.
That's correct. Yeah, we play at 4 o'clock on Friday. That'll be the doubleheader, and then 12 o'clock at Saturday if needed, if we split.
7A Area 2 champions McGill Tulane have had a great season so far, Coach. We got you for about another minute. Talk to us about your postseason expectations and what's upcoming for you and how you're going to try to get it down the stretch and how you've been prepared.
Well, you know, everything's kind of, you know, setting up now as far as, you know, how the playoffs are going to be. But in all reality, we're just going to tell our kids we got to take each series as it comes. And again, we got to have a good week of practice. Again, this is our spring break this week. So that's not something typically that you like to do is play your first round of the playoffs. And it's, you know, your kids are going to be bouncing around all over the place and they're not going to be in school. So we're hoping that won't be a distraction. But we did talk to them, you know, after we finished the Murphy series. And I think our kids were focused and ready to go with what we got to do.
Well, Coach Becker, I tell you what, we want to wish you the best of luck. Have enjoyed listening to you all year long on the updates on how McGill Tulane has been doing. We know you have the pitching rotation. Hopefully everything will fall into place and the weather will cooperate, and you'll get some great baseball in this week and continue to advance in postseason play.
I appreciate it. Thank you. There'll be some great games today, too. So everybody go out and watch some high school baseball.
Tim, thanks a bunch, pal. Good luck.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you soon. That's Tim Becker, head baseball coach at McGill Tulane. And I'm going to tell you right now, he's a guy that was in the New York Yankees organization, was a great college player here at the University of South Alabama. Boy, I had the occasion of watching him play in an all-star game in Upper State, New York, many, many years ago, and he was as good as anybody with that glove and at the bat. I'm just telling you, he's done a great job as head baseball coach at McGill Tulane. Tell you what, when we come back, we're going to talk to another one of those guys who makes a difference in kids' lives every single day, Kevin Raley, the head baseball coach at UMS Wright, when we return right here on Prep Sports Report presented by Alpha.
Live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, it's the Prep Sports Report presented by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to your hosts, Rick Cleveland, Mark Lasseter, and Corey LaBounty.
All right, good morning, and welcome back to PSR. The first hour flew by. We appreciate Jamie Lee and Tim Becker and Kevin Raley being on with us. And this next hour is going to go by, too, but we want to wish everybody a happy and blessed Easter and to celebrate our risen Savior. I tell you that we're mighty thankful for all the blessings that we have in our lives here. Mark Laster is in Birmingham with his family, celebrating his dad's birthday. Corey LeBounty's back in the studio this weekend. We got Charlie on the boards and Philip on the phones. And you certainly can reach us on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales Communication lines at 251-343-0106. And you certainly can text us at that number as well. But one of the news notes that came through this morning is, or really came through earlier this week, was that John Price was returning to coaching. Of course, John was very successful at Faith Academy. He was there for 9 years. He had 218 wins. He was in, I think, five Final Fours at Faith Academy in the Alabama High School Athletic Association and one Final Four in the Alabama Independent Schools Association. And John replaces Brandon Garrett, who moved over to take the job at St. Paul's. In 18 years of coaching, John Price has won 400, his teams have won 403 games and 403 and 140 record. He's back in his hometown. He did go up to St. Joseph Christian School in Missouri. Had 37 wins in 2 years, Corey, and he had the first 20-win season for that school there in the heart of Missouri. He took a year off from coaching last year, worked in the oil business. I bet that was a fun thing for John to do, being away from coaching. I know it bit him a little bit. But now he and his wife, Sarah, with their three beautiful children, have a renewed perspective as he moves back into coaching. And John Price, welcome back into our world, into a position that I'm sure that you feel very strongly that God has opened up a door for you that will lead to some great days at Cottage Hill Academy. And welcome to Prep Sports Report, John.
Well, hey, I appreciate you having me on, and it's always good to talk to you and Corey, and great to be back in Mobile.
Coach, welcome back to Mobile, Alabama, and the coaching, the high school coaching scene, because once coaching's in your blood, whether it's in Missouri, whether it's here in Mobile, it really never leaves you, whether you're being a father and watching your daughter play as well. I know that was a joy for you this past season also, but you know, you're taking an opportunity at Cottage Hill to where Cottage Hill's athletic program has had the most success in the history since joining the AHSAA, and I know that competing in a area 2A region 1 is got to get your blood percolating, and you guys being on spring break this coming week, getting ready to meet your team week after next, has to be very exciting for you.
It is. I mean, we're definitely excited about just the fact that the Lord has given us an opportunity to be in Mobile, in our hometown, and coming back. You know, I was talking with one of the reporters with AL.com, and just every time we come back to Mobile, something impactful has happened in my life, and we're hopeful that this is the third time coming home. Hopefully it'll be the last one, but, you know, Cottage Hill is it's a special place. You know, they value their basketball program, their boys basketball program there, and the fact that my kids are already there, and you know, I'll get to, you know, watch my daughter play in her final 2 years of high school, and then of course my younger son's coming up, and I think he's convinced that he's Steph Curry and that he's going to be dad's point guard one day, so I'm excited about just all of the opportunities that we'll have to minister to kids there at Cottage Hill Christian Academy.
Basketball really never changes again, whether it's in 2A basketball, 5A basketball, like you led Faith Academy. But I had the opportunity to watch you make it to your first Final Four as the head coach at Faith Academy. Going back and reflecting upon your time there, making it to five straight Final Fours, talk to us about some of your biggest basketball memories and moments, not only at Faith Academy, but just here coaching in general in the Mobile, Alabama area.
Well, you know, and that's a great question. You know, Faith was a special time. It's definitely just, as I reflect back on that, just seeing how the Lord worked in my life during those 9 years, and and just the success that he gave us there. Just some outstanding kids. You know, I'll probably have a couple of them on my bench at Cottage Hill, you know, as assistant coaches, and I'm excited about that. But I'll never forget when we came down here and I had a coach in Mobile, you know, Faith Academy was in the AISA and had not made the jump yet to 5A basketball. And a coach told me, you know, you guys are going to be lucky to go 500. And I didn't have any idea. I had no real, you know, expectations as far as what we were going to be able to do. You know, DeMarcus Cousins was at LaFleur our first year in 5A basketball. And so that was kind of our initiation, was being in the same area as DeMarcus and the LaFleur Rattlers. And they put it to us. We played them in the area championship game that first year in 5A. And you know, LaFleur at that time was just still just, you know, a powerhouse. And that next year, our second year in 5A basketball, we went to LaFleur and beat LaFleur on their home court. And that was probably a moment for me where, you know, all the worry and anxiety of are we going to be able to have success, that started to melt away. That, you know, hey, this is big time. This was a big time moment for our program. And then from that, we just continued to gain some momentum and had a lot of great memories and successes there.
We're talking to John Price, newly selected as the head basketball coach at Cottage Hill. And, you know, John, we're heard all over the Southeast, and primarily we're heard on the late 105.1 in the Montgomery region. I want you to kind of tell me a little bit about what Larry Chapman means to you as a basketball coach and as a fellow God-serving Christian basketball coach.
You're going to make me cry on the radio.
No, I'm not either. I know. I love him like you do, so that's a special man.
Yeah. He is, you know, he is a mentor to me. And man, I didn't know you were going to hit me on that one. I can't say enough good things about Larry Chapman and just the love he has in his heart for his people, you know, his players, his former coaches. He is a special guy. He is a real special guy. And I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't be in coaching right now if it wasn't for Larry Chapman. I mean, I can't tell you how many phone calls I've gotten from him when I needed a word. The fact that I had the opportunity to be under him for a year and call him a friend and really a father figure is just, you know, God put him in my life. And I'm very, very thankful for that.
Well, and I can tell you this, he thinks the same of you. Of course, his son, Larry Jr., of course, the struggles that he's gone through with his health and the solid foundation that Chapman family has, even through the difficulties that they've gone through in their lives. I can tell you this, Larry Chapman is a man who I know has influenced you, but I had to ask you that because I don't think I ever get a chance to talk to Larry or to Larry Jr. When I don't think about the people that have worked for him. You know, we lost one of them this past year that spent so much time right next to Larry and spent a lot of time at Trinity Presbyterian in Montgomery.
Yep.
But, you know, when we lose people like that, we're losing people that are built on a solid foundation, as you know. But, John, I just want to tell you how proud we are and how happy we are here at PSR to have you back amongst us. And the kids there are in for a treat because you know, your job is, you have a job impacting young people every day and to find God's destiny in their life, and that's what you do. It's a lot more important than winning a basketball game, and we're thankful for that. But you'll win more than your share at Cottage Hill, just as you have everywhere you've been. And God bless you, pal, on this Easter weekend.
Well, thank you so much again for having us, and thank you for all that you do to just bring awareness to all of the kids across the state that participate in athletics. I appreciate you guys.
And Something else, if you get a chance, tell Alan Floyd we said hello. You're blessed to have a minister like him in your midst, I can tell you that.
I sure will.
Take
Thank
care.
You very much.
We'll talk to you soon, John. We'll be back with more PSR right here on FM Talk 106.5.
Live on the Prep Sports Report Radio Network, it's the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales Communication Lines. Now, back to the show.
Back in high school, he could throw that speedball by it, make you love like
All right, welcome back to Prep Sports Report. Of course, we are presented by Alpha, and we are in the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. You know, folks, if you're going to Atlanta, you got some spring break, and you're going to travel up into the up the East Coast, you're going over to Atlanta, I want you to stop by and visit with our buddies at Williamson Brothers Barbecue. You can go see them in Marietta and Canton and Douglasville, and I can promise you, if you go by Williamson Brothers Barbecue, you'll go back. You'll make an effort, an extra effort, to go out of your way to visit Williamson Brothers Barbecue right there in Marietta, Canton, and Douglasville. You can also pick up those barbecue sauces at Publix and Walmart, all those that are in your area in North Florida, down on 30A, down in Destin as well, over in Jackson, Mississippi, and Biloxi, Mississippi, all the way up the East Coast, all the way to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. You can find Williamson Brothers Barbecue. And their locations, again, Marietta, Canton, and Douglasville. Rick Cawley has made a step over from B.C. Rain and taking the job at Davidson. And his guys are going to play in a big doubleheader over in Alabaster at Thompson High School in a pretty, I'm going to tell you, it's a pretty elite high school facility. So we got Rick on this morning. And good morning, Rick. How you doing, pal?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you?
Well, we're doing good. Rick Cleveland, Corey LeBounty. Mark Laster's on assignment. He's taking care of his dad, celebrating his birthday this weekend, but we're glad to get you on here. I still remember this guy's little old bitty running back out at Satsuma. One of my buddies that's a recruiting at UAB came in, and I said, the first thing you need to do is leave my office and go to Satsuma. That's where you need to be. And that little old running back ended up being a pretty good football player, and it was one Rick Cawley. I know, Rick, you've kind of jumped out of the frying pan into the frying pan, pal, and talk just a little bit about what you found at Davidson, and I know you're going to go up against Mark Freeman on August the 24th, and that should be something nice. But I would, if I were you, I'd be so excited just for my players to get to see that doggone facility that they've built over there.
Yeah, you know, our kids don't know much about it, but, you know, when I told them who we're going to get to play, they were excited about the challenge, and I think they'll even be more excited once they – you know, find out where they're going to get to play and the atmosphere and those things. You know, it's a kind of a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for them.
Without question, Coach, talk to us about how things are going so far for the Davidson Warrior program. I know you took this job over starting the new year and have had an opportunity to get the guys in the weight room and conditioning like you would like at this point in time. Going into the spring game, less than probably a month away, all high schools are going to have an opportunity to do either inter-squad or go to some type of jamboree. What's in store this spring for the Davidson Warriors?
Well, we've had a good off season so far. You know, Mr. Richardson and the administration at Davidson's really set it up very well, and you know it was a good football program. Those guys know how to work. They're already disciplined, so a lot of the things you would normally have to go in and do is already set up. They were ready to go, and you know they've worked their tails off, and we're excited to get going with spring. And we got Gulfport on May 17th over there, so we're excited about that challenge. That's a 10-win team there, and we're ready to go see what we can do.
You know, your schedule, you talked about getting the Thompson. A year ago, you played Meridian, Mississippi, over in Meridian. It's a situation where, for whatever reason, it dropped off of your schedule. But when you look at your 7A Region 1 schedule, talk to us about what you're looking forward to the most. Jumping back into 7A, because when you were at Murphy, you knew the great competition that 7A was going to face. And I think the toughest question is that everybody's been asking me across the state when I go to the Super 7 is, when is the 7A Region 1 going to produce a first or second round playoff victory? Because that's something that the local teams have not been able to do as of yet, besides McGill-Tulane.
Yes, sir. That's something that we're, you know, we talk about all the time amongst coaches, is getting there and getting out of that first round. And that's the thing with, you know, in Mobile, Alabama, I don't care what region it is, every region one is tough. From 1A up to 7A, region one is tough. There's good football played down here. There's great coaching, great players, and it makes it difficult just to get there. And then when we get there, we would really, you know, like to move on. I think that 7A is set up to where if you get out of the first round, you have a real shot. You know, Robert E. Lee last year came in as a 4 seed, and they go all the way to the semis, and that's kind of what you're looking at. How do you get out of that first round and advance and, you know, move on? My first year at Murphy, we 4 seed, went and played Phoenix City, and they beat us 20-14, and we thought we had a real shot at that game and kind of let it slip away from us. So, you know, we're going to relish being in those kind of games and being in them at the end and seeing who comes out on top.
We're talking to Rick Cawley, the head football coach at Davidson High School. And, Rick, I have to mention this because it's something that listeners want to know about. Of course, you replaced a guy who did a tremendous job and a guy that we think the world of in Fred Riley. And really, you didn't. You replaced Sean. I mean, Sean Smith took it for a year, right?
And, right,
and,
yes.
And Sean is going to remain as athletic director. And he has done a great job there and really did a great job with the team when he replaced Fred. But there were some events that took place there. And what we're wondering is what we need to know is, are there any residual effects to that, or have we moved past that at Davidson High School with the leadership of a young principal whose father has been in administration for many years and who has mentored him? And from everything I hear, he has just done a fabulous job as a principal. But are there any residual effects to the incident that took place there, and are you guys having to deal with that in any shape, form, or fashion?
No, it's pretty much been a non-factor for us. Moving forward, there's a couple of the coaches still on staff that had to deal with it. And,
right.
You know, the kids and what they went through, I think, you know, they all grew from it.
Good.
There was a lot of kids that were forced into playing time that may not have played had that not happened. So they started and played as 10th graders. You know, you got a 10th grade linebacker that had over 100 tackles that,
wow,
had that not happened, he wouldn't have been out there.
Yeah.
So I think anytime things happen in life, you have to deal with it. And you make the most of it, and I think they did. And, you know, from them growing and working through that, I think, you know, they're all better for it.
Well, and that's good to hear, because that is something that, you know, it resonates with people that love Davidson High School and want to see it continue to grow and to be prosperous in athletics and academics. And I told somebody when you got that job, I said, well, now that's answered a lot of questions. Because they go out and hire a young man who's going to be forthright, and he's going to do everything he can to develop those young men with character and pride and self-discipline. And I'm just excited for you and as far as that's concerned. And I'm glad Sean Smith is still involved. I'm glad he's the athletic director there, and I'm really happy with the principal selection. I just think y'all have got a great thing going over there. And I certainly hope that that things work out as I think they will for you and your guys. Have you been able to bring any coaches with you, or have you kind of – how has that worked out?
We've had some good luck with just luck with positionings opening up with some guys I've worked with in the past. Some I have not. Tim Massengale was able to come in January and take over our strength and conditioning program. And, you know, he's a former head coach and athletic director.
Right.
Trained a lot of great athletes at Daphne, and you hard pressed to go find someone better than Coach Massengale. And, you know, he's taken over our strength and conditioning. Our kids have responded. And, you know, having someone to run your weight room for you and do it right so you can concentrate maybe on some of the other things is a big help in taking over a program.
Rick Cawley joining us this morning on the Prep Sports Report. Just want to thank you for your time, Coach Cawley, as you prepare for the spring game and get ready to get into summer workouts. And then 121 days from now, we'll be kicking off high school football. So we're looking forward to that. So best of luck to you, Coach, and we'll definitely be hearing from you real soon and stay in touch with us.
I thank you for having me on. I always enjoy it.
Take care, Rick. We'll see you soon, pal. That's Rick Cawley, head football coach at Davidson High School. When we come back, we'll have David from CNC Financial and Auto Sales right here on FM Talk 106.5.
PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now back to your hosts, Rick Cleveland, Mark Lasseter, and Corey LaBounty.
All right, welcome back to PSR. Heard on radio stations all over the Southeast, like WYEA 106.5 and covering all of Talladega County, and the Lake 105.1 covering 48,000 beautiful acres of Lake Martin. In the River Region, Corey LaBounty, Rick Cleveland. Let's go to our CNC communication lines and talk to David. David, how you doing, pal?
I'm doing great. How's everybody this morning?
Doing good. Tell us what you got going on out there this week.
I'll tell you what. We have been busy the last couple of weeks. My inventory has dropped so much, I got to get out and buy some more cars, which brings me to this. If you've got a car at your house, maybe it runs, maybe it doesn't run real well, or you've just been ready to sell it, or you're trading it into a big dealership and you don't feel comfortable with what they're offering you, bring it by. Let me put a number on it. We pay cash right here on the spot for cars.
So. All right. Tell us how they can reach you. Tell us how they can reach you, pal.
You can find us right here at 3150 Moffitt Road at the Crichton Split. You can always call us at 251-338-9019 or look us up at cncfinancialautosales.com. That easy.
All right, pal. Thanks a bunch. Have a great weekend. Appreciate it. All right, let's go back to those CNC Financial and Auto Sales communication lines. And I hate that Mark's not here, because Mark was giving this guy, I'm talking about, he was giving this guy down the road last Saturday, and I tried to get him, and I couldn't get him. But Randy Lee of the Alabama High School Athletic Association Radio Network, he and Brett Pritchard and Luke Robinson do a great job with that, and they sometimes let Corey and I sit in with them, and we're praying for them on that end. But good morning, Randy Lee. How you doing, pal?
I'm good, Rick. Anytime that I can catch up with you and Corey, two of my favorite broadcasters in the state, and I hate to hear my old high school coach, my old high school offensive coordinator, to be exact, Mark Lasseter, is not there, another one of my favorite coaches, too. So anytime y'all want me, you got me.
Well, Mark is in Birmingham with his dad celebrating a birthday this weekend and celebrating this Holy of Holies, the Easter weekend. But I know what Mark wanted to talk to you about, so we're going to throw it at you. Brett Pritchard posted on a Facebook page with you about three or four bass in your hand, and we absolutely had to – we believed that those were pinned-up bass.
Well, let me say, okay, now anybody that knows me knows my father did a very poor job of getting me in the outdoors. Now, he took me to the ball field – as often as I wanted. And so I was like you, Rick. I played three sports in high school. I was obsessed with it. But he never took me hunting, and he never took me fishing, and I'm one of the worst fishermen in Tallapoosa County. And Brett Pritchard talked me into going out with him the other night, and we actually did catch some. I think a five-year-old could catch some in the hole that he had me in, and he did make me pose for pictures so everybody could see it. And Coach Lasseter happens to know that I'm a very poor fisherman.
He did say that. He did say that. I would do that.
I love it. I love it, Randy. Well, Randy, I tell you what, brother, your love of the Alabama High School Athletic Association from the top of the state to the bottom of the state is second to none, and you and Brett do a great job on the AHSAA radio network, and I just want to thank you for allowing me to be a small part of that. But let's talk about some things that are going on at Benjamin Russell, a school that's near and dear to your heart. They just hired a new basketball coach, Jeremy Freeman, who won a state championship at Central Lacoosa. Talk to us about that new hire and your love for the way Coach Freeman does things.
Well, first off, if I call him Marquise, I apologize because a lot of people around here call him Marquise. And he's a Benjamin Russell guy. He graduated high school when I was in the eighth grade. He was one of those guys growing up that you knew was going to be a coach one day. Coach Carney, who was the high school basketball coach when I was there, had Jeremy run his tryouts for ninth grade and JV when he was a senior in high school. He's one of those guys. And he ends up over at Central Coosa, which is one of the better basketball programs in our neck of the woods. They've now won five or six state championships, and Jeremy's been there since 99. He's been an assistant, a key assistant for one of the best high school basketball coaches, Joe Blue, that we've had here in this state. So he's really learned from a couple of the best that we've had over in our area. And I'm thrilled that he's back. Basketball has not been really our bread and butter in Alexander City. But I think that we've got to start maybe from the youth perspective and try to build it back up to where maybe we had it in the 80s and 90s. And the good thing about Jeremy is he knows the coaches in this local area that are obsessed with basketball. He knows the parents, he knows the kids, and I think he'll get them out. And both of you have been involved in high school athletics for a long time. A lot of the question marks is, can you get the Bo's and Joe's out? And I really do believe Jeremy will do that, and I'm excited that he got the job.
Well, and that's a good thing, because you want those homeboys to be able to come back and replant those seeds that they certainly know all about the ins and ups. They know all the ins and outs and the ups and downs of what goes on right there around Tallapoosa County, particularly at Benjamin Russell. And you just mentioned two guys that, of course, I had the privilege of. First of all, I played against Joe Blue in high school and college. And Paul Carney was a guy that I played against and then coached against when we were with Chuck Miller at Talladega. And I'm telling you, some of the best basketball games that were ever played in that Round Palace at Talladega were against Paul Carney's Benjamin Russell Wildcats and our Tigers there at Talladega. So two legends in high school basketball. And if Marquise was able to work under Joe, then I echo what you're saying, because Joe Ballou was – he's just one of a kind. He's one of a kind and special.
Yeah, and I'll say this, a good weekend to say this. There's no better men out there than Paul Carney either.
Yeah.
And,
amen.
You know, he's one of those guys that, you know, he's very Christian-oriented. We never had a practice that you didn't say the Lord's Prayer to end it. Just one of those guys. And, you know, to bring somebody back that he thought so highly of, as a senior in high school, to run tryouts for him. I mean, y'all are coaches. Think, if you're going to let someone that's a senior in high school run tryouts for you, and the reason I know that to be a fact is because I was one of them trying out when he was doing this. And, you know, you think a lot of an 18-year-old to allow him the opportunity to do that. And he's been involved. He knows this community. I'm thrilled about it. And, Corey, you and I have talked. We'd like to see Benjamin Russell get basketball to where we've got a lot of our other sports.
No question about it, Randy. And, you know, I'm going to jump a subject on you. I know we have about 4 minutes left in this segment. The transition that the AHSAA has had to make now with the Super 7 going back to Jordan-Hare Stadium in back-to-back years, it's something that, with the rotating schedule, is scheduled to go to Bryant-Denny here next season, but it's not going to happen because of the construction that's going to take place. I think that's an interesting dynamic in now switching it back to Jordan-Hare this year.
Well, here's the, you know, we've been involved with our radio network. I think we're entering into our 12th year with the radio network in the state. So I've had the luxury of being involved with the city of Auburn and Opelika and the city of Tuscaloosa and how they set this thing up back in the day with Walt Maddox and Ron Anders and so many of those, D. Mark Mitchell, that really thought that this was an important thing to put together. So Tuscaloosa needing to do some renovations to their field and Auburn jumping in and saying, look, we'll take it again. We're prepared for that. I'm not surprised at all, because I know the leaders that are involved thought that this was the right thing to do. And I think any of us that have been at these games, seen the administration, seen the kids, seen the parents, and how much they have embraced going to Auburn and Tuscaloosa to carry these games, it's the right move. I think it's one of the better moves that Coach Sav and the rest of that staff have made over the years.
You know, you guys have done an amazing job covering high school sports in the state of Alabama. We've been doing this for 17 years, and I can tell you, when we first started this, there was nobody doing it. There was nobody that did what you guys are doing, and nobody that was doing what we were doing. And so we've watched it, and we've watched high school sports grow. And one of the reasons high school sports has grown is because of the job that you and Brett and Luke have done with the Alabama High School Athletic Association Radio Network. You have come through some mountaintops and gone through some valleys. But at the same time, the job that you have done has been a consistent job, and it's been about what we're about building up players and coaches and officials and not being a part of tearing them down.
Let me jump on board real quick here, Rick. You know, all of us that do this, a lot of us do it because it's a hobby and a passion of ours. It's not our everyday job.
Right.
And I call us a little fraternity of broadcasters here in this state. That become friendly with one another. And we try to do as good a job as we possibly can to provide coverage for kids that, honestly, with the amount of work and effort that goes in, they deserve coverage.
Absolutely.
And they deserve positive coverage. I mean, you have to keep in mind when you do what we do, these are 15 through 18-year-old kids.
Amen.
And we try to keep everything as positive as we possibly can. And y'all have done a tremendous job helping us with that, so we really appreciate y'all too.
Well, I'm going to tell you, to be a part of your team is a blessing to us.
Yeah,
I can tell you that. It's a true blessing. Corey and I both feel that way. And I can tell you, when it gets Super 6, Super 7 time and basketball time, we get kind of itchy and antsy around here because we want to hear from y'all. And it's because we want to be part of your team because we know how hard y'all have worked and the class and dignity that you show in everything that you do. And I mean that with all my heart. And we say it just about every time we talk about LX City, we talk about you guys and the job that you do. You've got podcasts going. You got broadcasts going. You got a statewide program that's going. And we're so, so excited for you guys. And we just want you to, hey, kind of wrap your arms around old Jeff Hines every once in a while and slap him around because he's one of our favorites.
Don't you worry. We'll do it. He does a really good job for us, too. And he had Benjamin Russell basketball right there on the cusp of making the turn. You know, he's a great basketball guy, too. So I know that he's excited for Jeremy also. He'd be good to get on to kind of talk a little basketball, too.
Well, we'll get him on soon. And you take care. Say hello to Brett and Luke. And
thanks,
love
Randy.
You guys. We love you. And have a great Easter. Let's celebrate on the Holy of Holies, the rising of our risen Lord, okay?
Appreciate it, Randy.
Y'all call me anytime. Look forward to talking with y'all.
Take care, brother. Randy Lee of the Alabama High School Athletic Association Radio Network. We'll be back with the Face segment right here on FM Talk 106.5 and Radio Alabama.
This segment of the Prep Sports Report brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile as the summer home of Camp Rapahoe, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace. You know, yesterday I was on the Mississippi Gulf Coast, and I was thinking about one of the questions that one of my students asked me this week, and it was a doggone good question. And it was one that, I really hadn't sat and really talked about to my students, but I'm glad that this was asked. And I want to share with you what he asked. He said, "Coach, what is Good Friday? Why is it called Good Friday? Because it seems to me it's a sad day in Christianity." Well, I told him, I said, you're exactly right. This Good Friday signifies the day that Jesus was crucified. It's really a day of solemn mourning. It's a day when Jesus died for the sins of mankind, and it's also the start of his resurrection. And when you think about that, the one thing that really hits me and makes me realize how fortunate we are is that it's a day of forgiveness, and it's a day of prayer, and it's a day that we focus on what Jesus did for mankind. It was the ultimate sacrifice for the good of all humans. And, you know, I hope that we all understand exactly what that means in the Christian faith. And sometimes we all get a little discombobulated, and I love that word. Mark has shared that word with us a lot on here. And one of the things that I think is that we sometimes do get discombobulated when it comes to that part of what Christianity is all about. And this Easter Sunday is a very special time. And you know, one of the things that I wanted to share on Easter was that, you know, we always give things to children. We give Easter baskets and we give rabbits and bunnies and things that signify love. But the thing that we don't necessarily do is we don't think about a lot of those people out there that are hurting. And we simply look for things to give instead of always looking in a different direction and trying to help some of those that may be suffering from things that we don't know about. We hear it all the time. Don't criticize someone till you've walked a mile in their shoes. And that is that's certainly something that I've thought about a whole lot in the last week, because when you think about walking a mile in a person's shoes that is really facing difficulty in their life. Easter to me is about the resurrection. It's about it's about Jesus dying for those of us who really hadn't paid the price for someone to die for us. And I don't think we ever meet those goals. We don't ever meet the exact replica of what we should be in our life. But as I was in Biloxi, Mississippi yesterday, something showed up that just really made me think about the beauty of Easter. As I drove along the coast of there in Mississippi, there was a double rainbow that stretched all the way from the middle of the Gulf of Mexico all the way out to the interstate. And I've never seen a double rainbow. Never in my life have I seen a double rainbow. And this double rainbow was something that just absolutely astonished me. I just never seen it. And I started thinking, I said, you know, what in the world is a double rainbow signifying? I wanted to look, and I wanted to look somewhere in the Bible, and there's nowhere in the Bible I could find anything about that. But it was just an amazing, amazing sight. And I went back and I looked for something that Max Lucado had written called The Cradle of Hope. And it comes from 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, the 23rd verse is, Christ rose first. And then when Christ comes back, all of his people will become alive again. Let's go to the tomb, for Jesus lies in the tomb, still cold, stiff. Death has claimed its greatest trophy. He is not asleep in the tomb or resting in the tomb or comatose in the tomb. He's dead in the tomb. No air in his lungs, no thoughts in his brain, no feeling in his limbs. His body is as lifeless as a stone slab upon which he has been laid. The executioners made sure of it. When Pilate learned that Jesus was dead, he asked the soldiers if they were certain. They were. Had they seen the Nazarene twitch, had they heard even one mote, they would have broken his legs to speed his end. But there was no need. The thrust of a spear removed all doubt. The Romans knew their job, and their job was finished. They pried loose the nails, they lowered his body, and gave it to Joseph and Nicodemus. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus the Pharisee. Jesus had answered the prayer of their hearts, the prayer for the Messiah. As much as the soldiers wanted him dead, even more these men wanted him alive. As they sponged the blood from his beard, don't you know they listened for his breath as they wrapped the cloth around his hands? Don't you know they hoped for a pulse? Don't you know they searched for life, but they didn't find it? So they do with him what they were expected to do with a dead man. They wrap his body in clean linen and place it in a tomb. Joseph's tomb. Roman guards are stationed to guard the corpse, and a Roman seal is set on the rock of the tomb. For 3 days, no one gets close to the grave, but then Sunday arrives, and with Sunday comes light, a light within a tomb, a bright light, a soft light, a flashing light, a hovering light, we don't know, but there was a light, for he is the light, and with the light came life. Just as the darkness was banished, now the decay is reversed. Heaven blows and Jesus breathes. His chest expands. Waxy lips open, wooden fingers lift, heart valves swish, and hinged joints bend. And as we envision the moment, we stand in awe. We stand in awe not just because of what we see, but because of what we know. We know that we too will die. We know that we too will be buried. Our lungs like his will empty. Our hands like his will stiffen. But the rising of his body and the rolling of his stone give birth to a mighty belief. What we believe is this. If we get included in Christ's sin-conquering death, we also get included in his life-saving resurrection. We know that when Jesus was raised from the dead, it was a signal of the end of death as the end. Never again will death have the last word. When Jesus died, he took sin down with him. But alive, he brings God down to us.
Great words, Rick.
Man, may you have a happy and blessed Easter weekend.
Happy Resurrection weekend.
Absolutely. He will rise, and tomorrow we will celebrate the risen Lord. Remember this, no matter what you do, no matter where you go, he is always with you. God bless you. Have a happy and safe Easter weekend.